Good day and welcome to the Business Success Network podcast. I'm Stacey Calder, founder of the Business Success Network and magazine, and we help you to grow you and grow your business. We want to get you as visible as possible online, offline, and through events such as networking, awards, and conferences. If you're sitting here and listening to this and thinking this is a great show, we are looking for guests to be part of it. We want to hear your story and we want to share your information with the public. We want you to be as visible as possible. So join us over at the Business Success Network UK on Facebook, join the community, get the support, become a cheerleader for other small businesses, and we'll see you very soon.
Hi everyone, welcome back to the Business Success Network mini-series for charities. I'm your host, Dom Fenton, and this is number 6. So, we've got another guest in. So, just remember, this is a mini-series about how businesses can work with charities. And today we have Gary Jones. Hi Gary, how are you?
I'm all right, Dom. How are you doing? You all right?
Yeah, very good, thank you. It's great to have you on board. If people don't know who you are, why don't you introduce yourself and a bit about what you do?
Sure thing. So my name's Gary Jones. I'm from Grow, and I basically help businesses, communities, charities tell their story online. I believe that everyone's got a voice, and what I love to do is kind of just give them the opportunity to shout about what they're doing, the ideas that they want to share, and basically educate their audience, entertain them at the same time. I normally do this through podcasting and video. So I spend a lot of my time talking to people about podcasts, help people launch podcasts, especially charities, but also help people who want to podcast but don't want to do all the technical stuff. I do the technical stuff for them as well. So that's kind of how I spend my time. And I absolutely love it. I love it because it's just one of those things that people want to do, but sometimes they just don't know how to, and I just kind of push that gap.
Yeah, amazing. And from personal experience, we obviously work together quite a lot anyway, and actually I felt it really important for you to come on this podcast as well, just in terms of what you're doing and sort of the support that you can give out. How you fit everything on, I don't know, if I'm completely honest.
You say that, but you're busier than me, so however I do it, you do it as well.
Yeah, I sometimes think we just get on with it.
Yeah.
There's a bit of planning, but I think generally we just get on with it. So, obviously, podcasting and all of that side of it, let's delve a little bit deeper. Let's actually go back to how you got involved in everything and what made you go down this route. So, let's talk about the life of Gary Jones.
Wow. Okay, so born 20th of August 1983 in Leamington Spa. I'm joking. So, I started listening to podcasts completely by accident. It was on my commute. I used to commute from Warwick to Oxford every day, and actually Warwick to Banbury, Warwick to Oxford every day, which meant me doing a mix of walking to the train station or cycling to the train station, catching the train. Could be 20 minutes on the train, 45 minutes on the train, and doing that obviously twice a day. And at that time when I did it, which was 2012-ish, around that kind of time, I was listening to CDs. Streaming was just coming in. The iPod, my other half had an iPod. I didn't have an iPod. And there's only so many kind of CDs you can listen to on repeat and time. And on the trains, it was a bit weird listening to music, I found it. So I was reading magazines and books and that kind of stuff. And in one particular magazine, I found an article about a podcast. It was a podcast around this particular magazine. And what it did, it gave me an insight into the athletes, because it was a triathlon magazine that I was reading. It gave an insight into the athletes, and basically this podcast interviewed the athletes. So suddenly, instead of just reading about how they train and how they recover and the races and their kind of the reviews of what has happened, I'm actually listening to them instead. Because at that point, it was podcasters were just coming in, about a year or two kind of into it. It was only so small at that time. It was still part of iTunes, not its own separate kind of entity. And it was very much a case of it was a collegiate kind of alternative kind of method of communication. And there was only kind of Ricky Gervais and Adam Hill and maybe one or two other kind of British people who were really taking and running with it at that time. So it was pretty brand new, but I suddenly got transported into this world when I was listening to different things, and that helped my training at the time and also gave me stuff to do, which was great because I could listen to it on the walk and also on the train as well, which was fantastic. Fast forward a few years, and I was carried on listening to podcasts. It was really cool. There was about seven or eight that I kind of delved into. Mainly, it was just because I was nosy, so I enjoyed the interview-style kind of podcasts. And I got to the point where I, one afternoon, approached a radio station thinking to myself, I built a nice little network of people around me at that time. I wanted to talk about them. I wanted to shout about the stories that I've heard, and I wanted to showcase them. So I approached a couple of radio stations and to see if I'd become a guest on one of their shows. And they said, no, you shouldn't be a guest on a show. You should have your own show interviewing these people. There was only one big problem with that. Well, there's loads of problems with that, but there was one big problem with that. I had 2 weeks to learn how to do it. And all I had was a mobile phone. So 2 weeks, mobile phone to basically create a podcast. Because that's what a radio station was for this particular radio station. Radio show was for a radio station. You uploaded an MP3 file and then it was broadcasted at a particular time. It's very common in the kind of community radios to do that. So, yeah, that's how I got started. And after that, because I was back in 2015, I started doing my own podcast and radio show at the same time. Other people then started asking me how to do it. So therefore I started doing a bit of training here and there, very kind of off the cuff at that point in time, until people then started to ask me to produce their podcast for them. Because in their words, they don't want to do the technical stuff. They just want to have a chat, then release it to their audience. And that's when I started to become a bit more serious. And a couple of years ago, I formed Grow Radio as a way of bringing everybody into it, everybody into the podcasting game. Whether you're brand new and you don't know where to listen to it, you can just tune in and listen to the shows. People who want to develop the skills, you've got different courses and also the hub where you've got all your training sessions on there. And also, if you've got a podcast yourself, you can get it played on Grow Radio as well. It's a really cool community. So that's a whistle-stop tour of my podcasting journey, all the way from listener to, well, editing podcasts just like this one.
And I think it's really interesting how we fall into certain things. And if you imagine when you first, I talk to a lot of people, and my big thing is, when you first start something, do you ever realise where it could take you? And I think some people go into it knowing actually the route they want to go is this route. But actually, I think there's an awful lot of people, probably similar to yourself, that actually just went, actually, I don't want to listen to music. I found podcasts. Mm. But actually, there's more in this to come.
Yeah. And just like there is different types of TV and all that kind of stuff, there's loads of different types of podcasts out there, and I still love listening to music, and listen to music and listen to a podcast is something that I kind of debate with a couple of times probably a week. Should I listen to a bit of music or should I listen to a podcast? And 9 times out of 10 it is, do I want to get stuff done? Yes, right, music it is then. And then that's my kind of, let's just smash it and get it done. Podcast is more kind of relaxing. I spend a lot of time listening anyway, so it's actually just quite nice to kind of relax into it.
And I suppose if you're in the background doing a lot of bits for clients anyway, you listen to podcasts all the time because you're listening. The amount of podcasts you must listen to weekly.
So even before doing this interview today, I've listened to 4 podcasts, each of them anywhere between 20 and 45 minutes long. And when I'm editing a podcast, it's really key for me to listen to it from start to finish in real time, just like a normal listener would, because that way I can kind of hear any kind of gaps that shouldn't be there, anything that needs to be kind of just taken out, I can do. And I can see how each section bridge, so therefore the levels are exactly the same. So yeah, today already, and we're recording this pretty much at midday, I've done 4 podcasts and I've got another 3 to do after this. And that's quite a typical day. So I do spend a lot of time listening. And for the people who hate listening to their own voice, you try editing a podcast that you're on. That's a whole different level, folks. Whole different level of hatred to your own voice. It's brilliant.
And you're going to love listening back to this one, honestly.
Yeah, this is fine. This is all
good. So in terms of the reason for being on here, how do you think businesses and charities can work together?
So 9 times out of 10, a charity or the person going into who works in the charity has gone in because they're really passionate about that particular topic. They've already kind of, using Simon Sinek's kind of, they found their why. They know why they're working with that charity. And that makes it really good and really great to talk to them. Doesn't matter in what capacity, but talk to them because they just shine with positivity or about passion about that particular thing they're working on, whether that is a charity or a community interest or whatever it is. Sometimes you don't see that with businesses. Sometimes it's a bit kind of different with business owners. So I'd say that's the first one. But in saying that, because they're so passionate and because they're so into it, they're living and breathing whatever they're in, they can sometimes spread themselves a bit too thin. And we find that with business owners as well. They get distracted by the latest shiny object. But with charities, they know what's important. And that is normally either raising funds or raising awareness for whatever they want to do. They just haven't got the time or energy to do it. So I think the big thing that charities can learn from businesses is building teams and actually the power of outsourcing and about getting the right skills in the right place. And if they can do that, they can still carry on growing and talent, growing their audiences, giving value to their members, raising money, raising awareness. But they don't feel they have to do it all themselves. And sometimes I do think that charities do, well, people in charities put upon themselves a lot and help. I'm the kind of person who is passionate about podcasting and helping people as much as I can. If I could do it free of charge all the time, I would. No questions asked. But sadly, that doesn't pay the mortgage. That doesn't pay that kind of stuff. So when it comes to, yeah, it's, there's a lot of stuff that charities can learn from businesses and they can work together. It's the, I think for me, it's all about the passion. It's all about the passion in the people. That's what charities and businesses could have in common. And yeah, they could use that passion to kind of work together. So I can remember when you spoke to Alex and he was saying that charities should be more clear with businesses of how they can help. So instead of going into a room and saying, "Hi, I'm a charity, give me your money," say, "I'm a charity, we would love you to support our awards dinner," or that kind of stuff. A lot of people can learn a lot of stuff from this podcast series from based on the guests that you've just had on.
Yeah, and I think that's it. And I think the reason we've brought certain people on is there are things they can add value. And I think with what you've said around building teams, that's really important. And I think actually not only do small businesses and businesses need to work on that, but actually charities definitely do. Because as you say, especially if they're small charities, I think generally there's a reason they've set up. I saw another one launched yesterday. We were doing the first thing because the child had been involved in a knife crime. So again, I think it was one of the parents said, "Well, I don't want to let, I made a promise that I wouldn't let, I wouldn't, I want them to be proud of what we do." And they've set up a charity. And I think generally people get involved in charities because they're personal reasons.
Yep.
And it's amazing how many new charities get set up. But what I do think is that there are massive times where actually they need to be collaborating. They need to be working together because actually the more and more charities that get set up, that all that then means is there's more charities going for the same pot of money.
Yep.
So actually, if there's ways that, you know, by doing this, by doing other podcasts and other programs, well, actually, if they can work together, And for me, collaboration's everything. Mm. Whether that's charities, whether that's business, I think actually there's enough work out there for everyone.
Hi, my name is Chris. I am the Chief Monkey from Scruffy Monkey. We are a web design business based in Bolton. We offer web design and support packages with a particular niche on charities. We have over 200 clients throughout the UK, 40 plus of which are charities. We've been working with them for 9+ years now, and we really get what you guys are about. So we'd love to help you out. So please do get in touch. We also offer free web design audits where we'll just do a quick video recording of your website, what you can change, what you can adapt to help you tell your stories further. Feel free to connect with us on any social media channels at ScruffyMonkeyDM, or check out our website, of course, at www.scruffymonkey.co.uk.
Yep, I agree. To be fair,
to collaborate.
Yeah, there's... Yeah, Stacey, who owns obviously the Business Success Network, me and her, and she says it quite openly, we started off as competitors, but we soon realized really quickly that actually we've got two individual skill sets, which actually, when you put it together, really complements each other. So now, when I was doing social media more than podcasting, we were passing customers left, right, and center because this person was a better fit for her and vice versa. And to this day, we still work together on a number of different projects. And you're dead right. People, most of the charities that I've kind of set podcasts up with, they have set it up for personal reasons. It makes them passionate. It makes them really kind of really headstrong in terms of this is what they want to do. But as you said, there's only a certain amount of not only just money, but time and attention that people can pay to a particular topic. So, yeah, when it comes to kind of podcasting, some of them might be better off, and you've already alluded to this, being guests on podcasts like this, on other podcasts that kind of feature different charities as well. Because actually that way, they can still tell their story, they can still share their ideas, and still kind of raise that awareness for what they want to do. But they don't have the pressure of launching a show on a regular commitment. And that's where most charities have fallen down in the past, because they've started it. They might have had a plan, or they might have had a loose plan of how it's going to kind of work in terms of time and energy and resources, but then they stop. And I worked with probably, I think it was 12 or 13 charities. And I say 12 or 13 because the 13th never really took off. 12 or 13 charity podcasts last year, so in 2023. Seven got launched and six of them didn't. And out of those seven, four of them are still going at the moment, from 2000 launching in 2023. So it's quite a kind of tough attrition rate that you've got. 75% of people of charity podcasts that I spoke to last year have stopped by this point in time. Now those 25% that are going to carry on, they've got their plan nailed down, they've got their team in place to be able to work on it. And this is where the power of a team and also collaboration kind of works on, because I know also they've been guests on other people's podcasts. It's not a coincidence that all of these things mesh up into a nicely kind of knitted ball of podcast love, if you want to say it. But collaboration, you've got to have collaboration, whether it's in your team or elsewhere as well. You've got to have it.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I suppose for those listening to this now, if they've always thought about going, right, how can we do something? How can we do something slightly different? They're obviously listening to this for a certain reason. And actually that reason may be in the back of their mind, it may be that actually they know that the podcast world now is getting bigger and bigger. And actually I don't really see where it stops, if I'm honest, at the moment, but it's getting bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. What would you say to them? Maybe two or three most important things. We've sort of elaborated on it a little bit just now. Two or three really important things about wanting to launch a podcast that actually then is sustainable. So they're that 25% rather than the 75% that hasn't happened.
Yeah. So first off, it's so important to make sure the podcast is part of your overall strategy. And that is threefold for me. It's what it does for the actual charity itself. So what does it value, does it bring to the charity? What messages can the charity share on that platform as well? And remember, podcast is audio and video potentially as well. So therefore, you've got content for YouTube and all that kind of stuff. So fitting it into your strategy for your charity is so important. Fit it in with actually the host as well and the people involved in it. So how can the podcast help their team? Have you got a marketing person who wants to kind of develop their skills in it? Have you got someone who wants to do public speaking and being a host on a podcast would help. You can develop your team by using the podcast and then also then figure out how it works for your members, your audience, your community as well. What value are they going to get from it? Who do they want to listen to? What stories do they want to resonate with? What questions do they want to ask the people on the podcasts? If you can answer all of those, you're onto a winner straight away, because that's forming your idea, which is my main bit, is working on your idea and then fitting it into your marketing strategy. To do that, you need point number two, which is you need a team around you. One person can't do it by themselves, because frankly, you're just not going to have enough time and energy, because you're going to be worried about doing the accounts and getting the next fundraiser and organizing the next event and all that kind of stuff. You're not going to be able to do it yourself. Why not? So overall strategy, building the team, and also remembering it's only a podcast. There's other options for you as well. Mm. You can launch your podcast. You can be a guest on the podcast, which is a great way of sharing your story and building experience. And hell, if you have no idea what a podcast is, just start listening to podcasts. Just start listening to this. If you're watching this on YouTube and not on a podcast platform, pop onto your phone. Just type in Spotify into the App Store, Google, Apple Podcasts, wherever you are. Just type in podcasts and bet you any money, there'll be a built-in podcast player on your phone already. There'll be loads of them to start to listen to. Start listening to podcasts and just kind of understand how they work. There's no downsides to listening to podcasts. And there's going to be a podcast out there for you to listen to. If you start building it into your plan, building a team and developing your own skills, which is by listening and figuring out how it all fits in, yeah, you'll be in that 25% of podcast charities who have got a podcast, not just a podcast, but a successful podcast.
Yeah, I love that. And what would you say is what would you say would make a podcast successful in terms of someone putting it out? So if they want to know, you know, maybe that actually we're still going in 2 years' time. Is it numbers that are people have downloading and viewing it and listening to it? Is it, what generally would you say is sort of that sort of model?
I would say it's more feedback than listening numbers. So feedback from your members and the people who are listening to it. People telling you, actually listen to your podcast and I absolutely love it, or I regularly subscribe to it, or this episode changed my life because it made me realize I wasn't by myself. Those kind of things are more powerful than listener numbers, because some charities are going to start with quite a small base in terms of their community, but you don't need many people to make a difference. You just need one person to listen to your show and for them to make a change based on what they've heard. And for me, that's the power of the podcast. That's the value that you as a host, you as a podcast owner has to your audience. And to be fair, some charities are not going to start from a big base, as I said. But if you've got 100 people who are listening to your podcast every single time you release a bit of content, and 20 or 30 of those are sharing it to other people in their network, that podcast is soon going to grow. So I would say that don't base it on listener figures. That's the worst thing you can do, because frankly, you'd be surprised how little some podcasts get, but it's all about the engagement. And that's where the feedback, and also then making sure that actually the audience is connected to your podcast in a way they can ask questions and kind of get involved after the shows as well, because the show should just be the beginning. You should have a nice kind of community around it as well. But don't base it on numbers of black and white. They don't tell the whole story at all.
Yeah, and I think as well, if you're a guest on a podcast, make sure you share it. Make sure you put out, because I think so many people lose opportunities when they don't share things. And yeah, it doesn't matter what sort of, for me, it doesn't really matter what sort of podcast you're on, providing it fits in with what you're doing and what you're thinking and things like that, then actually it doesn't matter what podcast you're on, but actually what you need to be doing is sharing it.
100%. And it's, I think there's no greater honor of them being a guest on a podcast. Because let's put it another way. You've invited me to be in your studio to talk to your audience about a topic that I'm passionate about. I'm the luckiest person alive at the moment. What more could I personally want? And then I'd spend this time, you spend this time, the podcast editor, which in this case will be me, listen to my voice, will spend his time or her time editing the podcast. We release it, we market it. Well, you market it. Why the hell wouldn't I market it as well? Mm. It's a great marketing asset for me. I'd be able to connect with your audience when you put a post on there, put a post out there to say, look, new episode is out. I'll be on there saying, thank you so much for the opportunity. Everybody who likes it, I'll be saying, thanks for liking it. Have you checked it out? I'll be having conversations with them. This is what most podcasts guests fall down on. They just think, yep, I've spent my time. I've spoken to you. Job done. Now up to you. Completely wrong. You hit the nail on the head. The guests should share it. The guests should market it. Even before they go onto the show, they should listen to the show to make sure they've got their messaging.
Yeah.
Just spot on with what you want to do and what you want to say. That might be listening to one episode. It could be listening to a couple of episodes beforehand. But you just want to make sure that actually, as a guest, you make the most of it before, during, and after.
Yeah.
It's, for me, it's a no-brainer, but other people don't see that, which is a shame.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. So in terms of your business, what are the sort of plans for the next 18 months, 2 years, in terms of where you're taking, what you're doing and things like that?
So over the last 18 months, I've kind of, since I've started Grow Radio, that's going to be my focus, and that's going to be kind of the main hub of activity that I'm going to have. I'm going to build I've already started building an outreach program, which is mainly for charities and community interest companies. They already get the free access to my training system, which is Grow Radio Hub. So if you're a charity or a CRC, send me your details and I'll get you logged in. And then therefore you'll have various podcast resources straight away. I'm going to be building more courses to help people. So it's not just me talking to them. They can do it just as and when they go. We want to build the amount of podcasts which are on Grow Radio. We want to bring audio dramas in to give people a bit more of a weekend kind of feel to some of the kind of shows as well. But I really just want to encourage people to start using podcasting as a tool. I'll be out there talking at different exhibitions and you might see my stand in different places. But yeah, really just talking to people about podcasting and going from there. There might be a festival of podcasting happening in a couple of years' time that might be announced in September. I say might be, it will be, and it will be announced for next year. So there'll be that. There might be a 24-hour podcast challenge happening at some point. You never know.
Is this one of those might again, or is this definitely going to happen?
This is going to happen. Is going to happen. But, you know, there's loads of different things that I want to kind of launch that is going to encourage people to give podcasting a go or take it a bit more serious. And that's kind of where I want people to be. I want to just kind of promote podcasting, but give them the tools to be able to do it themselves.
And the fact is that actually for any charities listening to this, contact Gary, because actually the amount of free stuff you're giving away already with the hub and everything else, why wouldn't you?
If anyone's got any concern about time or energy or resources or what the hell is a podcast, let's put it bluntly, some people don't know what a podcast is, and that's fine. I always offer a free 20-minute call for anybody who wants to get in touch. So we'll put that in the show notes, and then people can kind of book directly at a time that suits them. But honestly, it's with the way that I work and the way that Grow Radio works, we are set up to help as many charities as possible. And we want to make it as easy as possible for them. We've refined the process over the last couple of years to make it as straightforward as we can. And that means that actually they can literally just jump onto somewhere like this, record their content, and then hell, they didn't even have to send it to us. We would actually dial in and pick it up themselves. You know, we have made this setup so easy.
Crazy. So just to finish off, what's your biggest tip you could give to the sector around what you do or how to start or anything like that?
I would say don't be afraid of asking for opportunities. Or don't be afraid to look for opportunities. And what I mean by that is if you're looking to launch a podcast, announce it on your social media. Announce it and say, looking to start a podcast about this topic, who do you know who would be great as guests? Or what topics do you want to hear? If you're launching a podcast, that's great. If you're looking to become a guest on a podcast, put on your socials that you want to be a guest on a podcast. And see who bites or see who knows someone who's got a podcast. It's just about being brave and looking for those opportunities. And then when someone says, oh, yeah, you can be on my podcast, don't diddy-daddy. Get onto it straight away. Send them a message and put your hand up like you said and just kind of go for it straight away. Don't procrastinate on making the decision of doing it. Don't say yes to it and then go from there. So for me, it's about looking out for the opportunities. If you can do that one thing, then actually suddenly your world will open up with kind of what's possible.
And I'd completely agree with that, because I think actually just by putting yourself out there, and again, I think a lot of this comes down to comfort zones and yes, there's times and other aspects, but actually a lot of this is comfort zone. Step outside of your comfort zone, whether you're a big charity, whether you're a small charity, whether you're a small CIC, nonprofit, whichever. Even for a business, it feels just put your hand up and actually take that step, because it's amazing the doors that potentially open up for you.
There's a podcast episode I listened to a few days ago from a well-known podcast called The Diary of the CEO. And Steve interviewed the comedian Jimmy Carr. And Jimmy Carr made a great point about comfort zones and about imposter syndrome. And he said that imposter syndrome, we've got it all wrong. We should feel imposter syndrome every 18 months, because that means we're pushing forward. We're pushing outside that comfort zone. We're pushing our limits. We're testing how far we can go. And if you're not feeling the imposter syndrome, you might well be stuck in that kind of comfort zone. And that might not be a good thing long term if you do want to grow and develop your skills. So and as soon as I listened to it, I thought imposter syndrome being a good thing, that changes everything. It does, because suddenly, actually, I'm not afraid of coming onto this, because this is an opportunity. And straight away, I'm not afraid. I'm excited. That's a big mindset change. So if you do want to learn more about kind of that, yeah, comedian Jimmy Carr on The Diary of CEO.
I have seen some of that. And yeah, that is I get lots of videos of it and stuff. So I see that quite a lot. Yeah. So Gary, if people want to get hold of you, where can they find you?
So just search growradio.uk. I'm on social media in loads of different places, but growradio.uk, check out the website. We play a different podcast on the hour every hour, and you'll see all your cool kick-ass training stuff on the website as well. So yeah, best to check it out on there. I'll put it in the show notes.
Amazing. Gary, thank you very much for your time this morning or this afternoon now. It's been fun. I'm sure we'll get you back on again at some point down the line. But thank you very much. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening. I'm Dom Fenton. If you want to get hold of myself, it's the Activity Connector, all over social media. Again, we've got the Facebook group for the Business Success Network charities. Just type in that into Facebook. I am the host for that community, and then we can let you in on that. But thank you very much for tuning in, and we'll see you again for another episode. Take care now.
So, you've been listening to the Business Success Network podcast. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. Please do go and check out all the other episodes that we offer. We've got a great range of guests that have gone before us and that are coming up. And if you want to get involved in the Business Success Network, you can find us at www.businesssuccessnetwork.co.uk. There's loads of ways you can get involved, whether that's from contributing to our business magazine, or whether that's getting involved in the podcast. We are here to showcase your expertise and help you to grow you and grow your business.